ears and our hearts to hear from you what you long that we would. Help us to remain present with you in this sacred space. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Few books of the Bible offer a case study in courage, quite like the book of Esther. Esther is a unique book in many ways. It is only one of two books in Scripture named for a woman. It is the only book in the Bible where the name of God is never explicitly mentioned. It contains no direct reference to the law of Moses, no mention of prayer, and is never quoted in the New Testament. And yet, this quiet book, tucked away in the Hebrew Bible like a pearl in the sand, offers a story the people of God cannot afford to forget. Set during the Persian period, the story unfolds near the end of Israel's season of exile. Many had returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and restore their homeland, but not all. Some, like Esther and her cousin Mordecai, remained. They stayed in the land of their captivity, choosing to live faithfully in a foreign place, among people who did not know their God or share their customs. Esther rises to royal power in a court that does not know her full identity. And then a moment comes. An unthinkable threat against her people, a genocidal decree signed and sealed by the king. And the burden, the hope, the future of her people rests on her shoulders and hers alone. Esther is called upon to speak to the king on her people's behalf, but she is afraid. Mordecai, her cousin, sends a message through the palace gates. He reminds Esther that her future is not disconnected from their fate, and tells her, "But who knows? Maybe it was for a moment like this that you came to be a part of the royal family." Mordecai, in that crucial moment, doesn't issue a demand or a command. He offers Esther an invitation to remember who she is, to reflect on her responsibility toward her people, and to risk everything for a people who have everything to lose. And Esther, for her part, does not rush in headfirst. She pauses, she wrestles, she calculates the cost, and then, by God's hidden grace, she steps forward. She speaks, and through her, the people are saved. This is not just Esther's story. It is the story of the unseen stepping into the light. The story of a quiet yes that resounds across generations. The story of God's providence, not in parted seas or blazing fire, but in trembling voices, sacred hesitation and courage that rises when no one is watching. It is a story that reminds us God's silence is not absence. God's name may not be spoken, but God's presence moves between the lines, and it's a story that continues to echo. Our movie focus for this week serves as a modern parable that carries the same quiet power, Hidden Figures. Set during the 1960s space race, this film tells the true story of three Black women, Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson, who worked at NASA as mathematicians and engineers. They were brilliant. They were faithful. They were essential in their work, and for far too long, they were unseen. They lived at a time in our nation's history when the voices of many were excluded from dialogue, an era of separate but equal, a time when the color of one's skin determined the possibility for one's future. And yet, they showed up anyway. They were part of the team, they ran the numbers, they solved the equations, they helped launch John Glenn into orbit and brought him safely home. They didn't just support the mission, they made the mission possible. But the deeper truth, the gospel truth even, is not just that they succeeded, it's that their dignity refused to stay hidden. They were finally seen, not just by engineers in a control room, but by their nation, however slowly and painfully, as it chose to reckon with its own story. Let's take a look at this clip from the movie together.
Pastor mentioned you're a computer at NASA. Pretty heady stuff.
Yes, it is.
They let women handle that sort of thing. That's not what I mean.
What do you mean?
Yeah. I'm just surprised at something so taxing.
Mr. Johnson, if I were you, I'd quit talking right now.
I mean no disrespect.
I will have you know, I was the first Negro female student at West Virginia University Graduate School. On any given day, I analyze the manometer levels for air displacement, friction, and velocity, and compute over 10,000 calculations by hand. So yes, they let women do some things at NASA, Mr. Johnson. And it's not because we wear skirts. It's because we wear glasses.
No.
And that'll preach. Their story, like Esther's, is not just about individual brilliance. It's about what happens when the invisible are honored. When the voiceless speak. When a nation or a church remembers that those who've been pushed to the margins have often been the ones holding us all together. That part of our history isn't easy for everyone to name. It stirs discomfort or grief for some. But sometimes the stories that unsettle us are the very ones that can set us free. Esther's story reminds us of this too, because in the end, Esther doesn't act only out of personal conviction. She acts out of deep connection. She realizes that her fate is not separate from her people's, that her comfort cannot be preserved at the expense of their survival, that her voice, however risky to use, was never hers alone. She chooses faithfulness over fear. She chooses service over safety. She chooses to see herself not above her people, but with them. And this is where her true greatness lies. Not in her royal title, not in her beauty or status, but in her willingness to step into danger for the sake of others, to stand in the gap, to use her place not to protect herself, but to protect the vulnerable. This is what courage looks like in the kingdom of God. Not heroism from a distance, but solidarity up close. And isn't that the invitation for us too? To live as if we belong to one another. To serve not from obligation, but from love. To speak not because we have all the answers, but because silence would be a form of betrayal. Esther models what it means to be faithful in a time of fracture, to understand that salvation isn't a solo project, but a shared possibility. Her courage becomes the seed of her people's deliverance, and their survival becomes the fullness of her calling. And so we come to the end of Esther's story, but not the end of our calling. Because if we are listening closely, we will hear the Spirit whispering through these ancient words. Maybe it was for a moment like this, for such a time as this. This year marks 25 years since Pastor Jefferson Furtado came to the United States. The first five of those years were spent primarily in Mississippi and the mountains of North Carolina. He writes, "For a kid used to city living, bright lights, constant movement, and reliable public transportation, this was a dramatic shift." He says, "When he first arrived, he never imagined he'd spend the rest of his life there. But marriage and children have a way of reshaping our priorities, our plans, and even our sense of place. The United States has become his home," he writes, "and the United Methodist Church a place where his voice and gifts have been affirmed. Still, after all these years, as a person of color, serving in a denomination that is primarily white, he will often walk into rooms, sanctuaries, and decision-making spaces where most people do not look like him." There's a weight that comes with that. It's the quiet pressure of representation. It's the inner voice that says, you didn't get here alone, and how you carry yourself might open doors or close them for others who come after you. It's not just about success or failure, he writes. It's about legacy, visibility, and the sacred responsibility of presence. But from time to time, there are other voices that come along to remind him, you are not alone. Voices of individuals who don't look like him, who don't necessarily share his background, but who choose to see his humanity. Communities of people who open their arms and hearts, who choose to journey together, focusing not on cultural or political difference, but on shared mission and beloved belonging. And in those moments, these stories take on new meaning. Maybe you are where you are for a reason. Maybe we are here together, not by accident, but by providence. We live in a time when it's easy to retreat into silence, easy to protect our own comfort, easy to believe that the challenges around us belong to someone else. But Esther reminds us, just as Hidden Figures does, that the story moves forward when someone is willing to step up, to stand in, to speak out. Not for applause, not for credit, but for the sake of others, for the sake of the common good, for the sake of the kingdom of God. So here is the pastoral invitation. Maybe this is your moment to lift up someone else's voice, to use what we've been given, to let go of fear long enough to let courage rise. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to be willing, like Esther, to trust that God is already present, even when God's name is hard to find, even when the system looks impossible, even when the risk feels high. And when we step forward together, we discover the truth Esther already knew. Our destinies are braided together. Our hope is a shared one. And by God's grace, the faithfulness of one can become the salvation of many. So, may we listen, may we discern, and may we step forward with courage, with humility, and with love for such a time as this. Amen.